Welcome one and all to the new and improved, revamped Front Stretch Podcast. I'm your host, Davey Siegel. I will be in your ear and on your screens all season long talking NASCAR. And just to give you all a little bit of rundown of what we will be doing this season, we're going to have some shorter episodes, some interviews each week like usual, previews, recaps, roundtable of co-hosts, and we'll let you get on with your days, your weeks, your lives after that. But it's going to be a fun ride, so do me a favor, stick along with us, hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast player of choice, and we will be sure to make it worth your while.
Buggity, buggity, buggity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag has been dropped, so usually this is where we'd recap the last race that happened, but since it's still technically the offseason, we don't have to do that. So instead, we're going to be recapping a little bit of the offseason, some top storylines throughout, and of course we're going to do it with the one, the only, the incomparable Mike Neff. It's only right that he was on episode one of this new revamped Front Stretch Podcast, because Neff, you're a legend, my friend. Welcome.
I don't know about a legend, but I've been around this thing for a little while, and I'm more than happy to voice my grumpy old man, okay, boomer opinion as often as I can. So it's fun to do these things in conjunction with the younger guys on the website, because we get that juxtaposition of old and new. And yeah, there's some things that have happened in the offseason that have me fired up. So I'm ready to attack this new and improved and revamped and spit polished and everything else Front Stretch podcast we got going this year.
Well, there you go. Let's get the blood boiling. Let's start out first and foremost. I think the theme of this segment is just going to be new. There's new everything. Venues, teams, faces, cars, a new champion, and a new podcast, of course. But let's start first with the new venues that have been sprinkled throughout the 2021 Cup Series schedule, at least. Circuit of the Americas, Road America, Knoxville for the Truck Series, Indianapolis Road Course, which I know you are super thrilled about. Yeah. I'll let you take that in any direction that you want. But a lot of new venues this year across all three national series, especially Cup.
Yeah, I'm really excited about going to Elkhart Lake. I mean, Elkhart Lake has been a staple in the American racing, you know, landscape for decades.
And it's on 4th of July weekend, too.
It's a premier venue, and I'm glad we're finally getting the Cup Series to go there. A little disappointed that Eldora is not getting a Cup race. I mean, there's, you know, depending on which side of whatever story you listen to there, there's a myriad of things that caused that to go down. But I would have liked to have seen that, and I hate that the trucks are not going back there, because, you know, they were the revival of dirt racing after 40 years of not doing it. So, but going to Knoxville, I mean, that's up there going to the Indianapolis or the Daytona of dirt tracks. I mean, I argue that Eldora is the ultimate dirt track location. I've pointed it out in the past for people that if you take the 10 biggest dirt races of the year, it used to be six. Now the trucks are gone. It's five of those 10 events are at Eldora. I mean, there's just no question that it is the premier. But Knoxville is right there. You got the Sprint Car Hall of Fame on property. So that's going to be amazing. We got dirt at Bristol. I'm torn on that. I mean, I like the idea. But, God, there's so many great dirt venues in this country that we could have gone to instead of making it a gimmick of putting it there. I hope they have figured out how to better shield their air conditioning units, because for those people that remember the last time they did dirt at Bristol, they had to replace the air conditioning units in the entire facility because it sucked all the dust into the air conditioning units and destroyed all of them. So I'm hoping
that was before my time.
I hope they figured out a better way to prepare that. COTA is cool. I'm glad to see that. I know that COTA has been battling some financial concerns, especially with Formula One not doing their thing last year. So I'm glad to see that we can go there and hopefully help keep that amazing facility going, because it's gorgeous. And then you mentioned Indy Road Course. I was telling you off air before we started this thing, I've never been madder about anything that NASCAR has done. You can have stage racing.
And that's saying something.
You can have the car tomorrow. I mean, anything that they have done. There's lots of stuff they do that makes me angry. But giving up a crown jewel event, and I know some of the old-time purists don't like Indy. They think it was a gimmick from the beginning. But I think racing at the most storied racetrack in the world for Cup was important. And, you know, doing Xfinity on a road course, fine. If you'll do trucks on a road course, I'd be fine with that too. But the Cup Series deserves to be on an oval. And as I told you, and you laughed at me about it, Daytona 500 on a road course is coming. I don't know when it'll be here. It may be 10 years. It may be 15
not
years.
Not coming.
But it's coming if we have given not up coming. Indy to go on a road course and we gave up the Clash to go on a road course.
But you got to admit, too. I mean, look, I'm with you to a certain extent. I don't think it's the worst thing that they've ever done, but I'm not a huge fan of it. NASCAR loves Daytona. They like Indy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Daytona holds way more cachet to the sanctioning body themselves and to the sport as a whole at large than Indy does. Plus, you see all the fan reaction that's been the past decade or so, and even competitor reaction as well, that Indianapolis itself, the 2.5 mile oval, does not put on a good show for stock cars. That's an age-old argument,
well,
but it holds some merit.
For a period. The last 3 years at Indy have been really good. I mean, the Indy Cup race has been excellent, or at least far above average for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Between the tire debacle and before that, yes, it's been bad. But, I mean, you talk to Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart will tell you, Indianapolis doesn't put on great racing. I mean, even in IndyCar, except for you have the occasional good one, and Indy Lights. I wish they would run Indy Lights at Indy 7 times a year because they have the most amazing finishes every time. But
it
just being a Hoosier – growing up, I mean, I tell that story all the time. My first race was in vitro at Indianapolis. My mother was pregnant in 1963 with me and went to the Indy 500, and that is where my love of racing has come from. And, I mean, when I was a senior in high school, I was at the track every day that the track was open. Every day. I did not miss a day. The security guys knew my name. I sat in the same place with my little cooler and did my thing. And I mean, I love that place, and it hurts me to the core to see them do this.
We will have you back on to preview the Indy Road Course, and we will make sure that you get on your soapbox even more.
I want to preview it. I want to be on the day, the week after, so that I can analyze what a garbage display it is.
We can do that. We can do that. You have my word. So that's some new venues that have been sprinkled throughout this upcoming schedule. New teams and new ownership at the Cup Series level as well. How about Michael frickin' Jordan, Pitbull, Justin Marks, Live Fast Motorsports with former driver Matt Tift and current driver BJ McLeod, Big Machine Racing in the Xfinity Series with Scott Borchetta of Big Machine Records. A lot of star power coming into NASCAR this season, and a lot of younger star power as well, which has to be a good thing.
Absolutely. I'm completely on board with that. And, the whole inclusivity movement that kicked off last year and getting rid of the Confederate flag and trying to be more inclusive in general, there's people that don't like that. I don't grasp the concept of why you would ever not want to include more people into your sport. But the fact that that has happened and some of the cool friendships and relationships that I've developed online because of this are really amazing. But just the fact that it opened the doors and you got Michael freaking Jordan buying a team. I mean,
it's ridiculous. Still.
Yeah. I can't even grasp how cool that is. You are talking about one of the four most identifiable sports icons in the history of sports between Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. I mean, it's right there. And now he's in our sport and he's been a fan. I've known that for a long time that he's been a fan, but he's got the money to go for it. And that's the part that I think we're going to see. The fact that Hamlin's in it and it's got Toyota behind it. I've been arguing for years that Toyota needs more competitive cars at the Cup level. I mean, you've got four, maybe five. If you take the four with Joe Gibbs, their satellite that they've had here and there, but you need 8 to 10 competitive cars to really truly leverage your corporate involvement. And now that they've got that one, I see within a couple of years they'll probably go to 2, maybe even 3 teams. And I look forward, I hope they have success. I mean, it's starting up a Cup team is a huge battle, but I think that they're going after it hard and I think it's going to be good.
I think they're going to have success because Michael Jordan doesn't fail unless he owns the Charlotte Hornets. Oops, did I say
hey
that?
Now,
sorry.
Hornets have lost some games. And LaMelo,
I know, I'm a Wizards fan.
LaMelo Ball has actually been surprising me.
LaMelo's nice. And they got my boy Miles Bridges from Michigan State, who's just tearing it up there as well. So, but I agree with you. I mean, Denny has said as well on the record, like, they have plans to expand. They've teased some stuff on their Instagram of expanding their shop to include a second area for a second team.
Right.
So stuff is coming down the pipeline potentially as early as next year. I mean, I've heard rumblings that John Hunter Nemechek's move back down to the Truck Series to get with Toyota is a ploy to then be in line for the second cup ride at 2311, being a Toyota-backed team. So that's neither here nor there. A lot of stuff to be ironed out before that, but a lot of exciting stuff coming this year on the ownership side, especially with Michael Jordan. New faces in new places. Bubba from the 43 to the 23. Eric Jones from the 20 to the 43. Briscoe from the 98 in Xfinity to the 14 in Cup. Corey LaJoie to the 32 to the 7. Daniel Suarez to the 99 from the 96 part-time. And that's only scratching the surface.
Yes.
A whole lot of moving this past silly season. We're not even done, by the way. Christian Eckes has an announcement coming this week. By the time you're listening to this, probably already know where he's going. There's a ton of stuff going on this year. I just feel like more than normal. And Denny Hamlin just signed an extension. So we know one part of silly season for upcoming 2021-2022. That's all ready to go. Tons of new faces and new places this year, Neff.
Yeah, I was a little surprised on the Hamlin one.
Were you?
Part of me thought that that was going to be the second car at, you know, 2311 racing. I really was thinking
he
could go over there. But I and again, I don't know the NASCAR logistics side of that. I know that there's discussion about the fact that, you know, you've got a competitor owning another team and all that kind of stuff. So I was a little surprised, but not a lot. I mean, let's face it, FedEx and Joe Gibbs Racing have had a long-standing relationship, and it's
going to remain that way.
It's one of the few that's still around in the sport that's a season-long sponsorship. So really cool to see that. I am curious to see what Jones will do in a 43. I feel like he got kind of short shafted at the Joe Gibbs level. So I guess we'll find out what kind of a driver he really is, and we'll see what kind of a driver Bubba was as to what they do out of that equipment. Bubba being paired up with Jordan is just a no brainer. I mean, I look for so many things in that pairing on and off the track. I think I have argued on this platform for ages and any other platform that people listen to me, how Bubba Wallace is not like turning down sponsorships. I mean, he is one of the most marketable people in sports, not even just in racing.
And once he starts winning, it's going to be even more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like this year we're really going to see him blossom as a personality, and I look forward to that. Suarez doing his thing. He's another one of those that I've felt is underrated. I mean,
I think he's gotten shafted as well.
Yeah, I mean, I look at him and Takuma Sato almost together. They came into our country not really knowing the language, put themselves immersed into a culture and learned it, and have advanced their careers and have both been successful. And I think Suarez is way underrated for what he did driver wide, because if you watched him run whatever series he was in, first time to second time at any racetrack, 98-99% of the time he improved, and he was not afraid to let somebody else get in his car. He was not afraid to try to pick people's brains. He was a sponge, and it has been really enjoyable to watch what he has done and where he's headed. And I look forward to hopefully seeing him get a really quality ride soon.
I didn't even mention Kyle Larson either, who's obviously coming back after his fiasco.
Well, yeah, there is that too.
that's probably the biggest one. And I just glanced right over, but a ton of new faces and new places this year. And it'll be interesting to see how they all fare for the first half of the year and if they can sustain that perhaps excellence going into the second half as well. Real quick, Naf, I want to touch on a couple more new things. A new car is still in the works. Next-gen development has been continuing. Debut is set for 2022. And NASCAR recently came out and actually said that the development on the car itself is pretty much done. And they expect the unveiling of the car with each unique manufacturer to come in the late spring. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn on this new car, man. One of two things is going to happen, and I don't know which it's going to be. It's either going to be track position is king, or we're going to have somebody get hot and win 20 races in a season, is what I feel. But yeah, it's cool that they're done, and I like the fact that they even admitted that they could have debuted it in 2021, but the fact that they get to go to 2022, they got to do a lot more refining and a lot more massaging. And manufacturers' bodies have all been approved. Development's done. So, yeah, I am excited to see them roll out these unveilings in the next month or two.
It was a no-brainer to push it back, because when it's one of these big undertakings, as the next-gen car is, that's going to hopefully, in their minds, transform the sport, or at least send it into another dimension in terms of ownership, competition, etc. You want it to be top-notch when it rolls off the truck, literally and figuratively. So doing it half-assed in 2021, that was just not an option. And when COVID hit, that was going to be the only option. So then their only option became pushing it back. So I'm excited to see how the cars look. We can talk about the numbers sliding back another time. I'm not a fan of it, but I'll get over it if that happens. But
I would tolerate that if they get rid of the dang splitter, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, I know. It's like catch 22. We can get rid of one thing, but then something gets added. Whatever. Now, if we got a new champion, Chase Elliott, he's been racing a hell of a whole lot this offseason. Chili Bowl, Snowball Derby, Rolex 24 just got announced to get into Chad Boat Midget as well this upcoming week. Chase Elliott's going to try to defend his crown this year. Kyle Busch has a new crew chief in Ben Bayshore. Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick trying to come back from some heartbreak last year, obviously being the class of the entire Cup Series field all season long. Harvick not even making the championship four.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But a new champion is the overarching theme here, and a young one at that.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, again, a way to bring youth to our sport. And I think, let's face it, the last time the most popular driver won the championship was when his dad did it in the 80s. And it's a pretty thing. That's a pretty big deal. And I love that he's branching out into all these other forms of racing. I think it's only going to make him better. I think that it's at least going to help him when we get to dirt. I still think that the dirt racers are going to be Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell and the rest of the field, but we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, to Elliott's credit, I mean, not a big fan of the one race championship deal, but give him credit. He had to win to get to Phoenix, and he did it. And then he had to win at Phoenix, and he did both of them. And it's, I have no problems with him being our champion. And I look forward to what his career holds for years to come.
That's exactly the mindset I have. I mean, I have no problem with the champion either, but if you're one of those people that doesn't like the format, don't hate the player, hate the game. He just played by the rules to get to Phoenix. And then on that day, if you're better than the other three, you're the champ. He played by the rules and he did it better than anybody else. So he, of course, is the champ. Well, that was fun reliving the offseason.
Absolutely.
And I want to let you guys know, obviously, new faces, new places, new teams, new ownership, new venues, all this stuff. And, of course, we have a new revamped podcast. So we got this thing rolling for y'all every single week. This has been the Green Flag segment, where usually we'll recap the past race. But this time, we recap the offseason. So let's head into our first stage break of the episode. This week's stage break is brought to you by nobody right now, but you can advertise with us. Your company here is what I have in my notes. Advertising is wide open on the Front Stretch Podcast. If you're interested in partnering with us, please contact Kevin Deedy, our sales manager at frontstretch.com. His email is ddk37, that's DEADYK37@gmail.com. That's Kevin Deedy, DEADYK37@gmail.com. You want to attach your brand to this wonderful podcast, to my shining face and booming voice, maybe Mike Neff's wonderful looking beard? If you want to do that, contact Kevin Deedy, DEADYK37@gmail.com. It's now time for our interview portion of the Front Stretch Podcast, episode one of the revamped show this week. Cup Series Rookie of the Year contender Anthony Alfredo for Front Row Motorsports is on the program. Really great guy. He's got a great head on his shoulders. It wasn't snowing where he is in North Carolina, but where he's from up in Connecticut, he knows all about snow. Not going to be an issue this upcoming week at Daytona. He's not going to be competing in the Clash, but we did chat about his first Cup Series race being the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. What the biggest challenge or unknown for him this year is going to be, leaning on his teammate Michael McDowell a good bit, especially coming up for these road course races where he doesn't have a lot of experience. Also, what tracks is he looking forward to getting to the most? Is it going to be a road course? Is it going to be a super speedway? What's it going to be? How's practice and the lack thereof going to affect his rookie season? And what are his realistic expectations in the 38 car this upcoming season? Here he is, Anthony Alfredo. Really happy to have on this Front Stretch podcast this week, Cup Series Rookie of the Year contender, Anthony Alfredo, Fast Pasta, The Sauce, whatever you want to call him. Man, I'm sure that is probably sounding pretty good to you, even though it's only been, what, a month or so here that you've been called a Cup Series driver. Doesn't get old, does it?
Not at all. It definitely has gone by really fast. It doesn't feel like a month, but it's probably about what it is so far. Been very busy, the busiest I've ever been in my life, but for the better. It's been incredible at all the great things I've been able to experience and all the virtual meetings I've had and getting to know people, other people in the industry, and just preparing for what's going to be a huge milestone in my career, not just the Daytona 500 as my first Cup Series race, especially of the season, obviously, but just for the season in general. So I'm definitely looking forward to get started and very thankful to all of my partners, Front Row Motorsports, Ford Performance, my family, everyone who's been by my side throughout this journey. And I feel like this is only the beginning. You know, I'm just very grateful to be in the position I'm in. I feel very blessed, and I just plan to make the most out of it.
Has to be one of the more crazy off seasons, not just for you personally, but probably all time. You know what I mean? Like, this has been an unprecedented time in the world. NASCAR is no different, and you just happen to be up in your game into the Cup Series. Has to be one of the weirdest few month stretches of your life.
Absolutely, and I'm sure it'll be like that this whole season, to be honest. You know, last year, moving up into the Xfinity Series, even on a part-time basis, was a big step for myself and my career, and I only got to run one race with practice, my first one. The rest of them, we had no practice. I wasn't able to utilize my rookie tests, and the same case is going to be for this season as well. So that's going to be a challenge in its own, but as far as just the overall structure of the year and the race season, like you were mentioning, is definitely strange. I'm just glad that everything has been able to work out, and we still had a successful season last year, and I hope to do the same this year, even considering all those things. I think I accomplished everything I wanted to, you know, while running, considering I was running part-time last year, and this year to run every week full-time and be able to move up and run every week full-time is a huge opportunity for me to prove myself, get experience, learn from the best drivers in the world. So I'm definitely excited, to say the very least, and just ready to get going.
So take me back to like middle of last year or Texas last year when you're having your final Xfinity Series start. Was Cup ever on the radar? Like, did you realistically think, all right, this offseason, me and my team are going to try to band together, get some sponsorship, let's go full-time Cup racing? Was that even on the radar for you?
To be honest, not really. We definitely were trying to figure things out. And, you know, the last few years have definitely been challenging. I've been very fortunate to be able to compete in competitive equipment. However, it's been on part-time basis. Right. So I haven't been able to go out there and carry momentum, or you know, you kind of string together some good runs and then you stall out because you're off for 2 weeks, or the opposite. Maybe you don't have a good run and then you have to sit out for 2-3 weeks before you can go try again. And it gets very challenging. However, I think I learned a lot from it because it taught me to make the most out of each opportunity, especially when they were, you know, fewer and further between. And then in addition to that, I think it humbled me in a way. Just, you know, having that experience and not knowing the last couple of years what I was going to do the following year has definitely been a lot of uncertainty. But everyone at Team Dillon Management, Austin Craven and Austin Dillon, all my family and all of our partners since the beginning of my career have stuck by my side. And like I always say, you know, last year in particular, it was like we had a different sponsor of ours on the car almost every week. But that's a true testament to all the amazing people who've supported me and believe in me. And I'm just thankful for that, because it was pretty awesome to be able to go do what we did and to still move up after that with all that uncertainty. And like you said, we were, you know, at the time, probably we're just looking for the best opportunity to that would present itself. A few came and went, and this one obviously came up. I think originally there wasn't even an open seat originally. And the way everything just kind of happened, it was somewhat right place, right time, a really great fit for me. And I couldn't be more thankful. I'm really excited about it. Everyone's been a pleasure to work with so far. And, I'm just very excited to get going. It hasn't even hit me completely yet that I'm going to be racing the Cup Series, especially not just because we didn't really expect it originally, but just because of the fact this is part of, you know, achieving my ultimate goal of, you know, someday being a Cup Series champion. Yeah. And to go racing at the Cup Series level is one step closer to that. And you always hope you get to that point, but when it actually comes, it's unbelievable.
So I'm curious as to your inner circle right now, because Anthony, you're 21 years old, if I have that correct. I'm 24. God, I'm aging myself already. And NASCAR is obviously skewing a little bit younger. Trendy stuff happening this offseason. MJ's in, Pitbull's in, Justin Marks, all these things are going on. Not many people your age can say that they're a driver in the Cup Series, moreover a race car driver, period. What are your best friends, your friends, your family, what are they saying about this venture for you now that you're a Cup Series driver?
Everyone's really pumped for me, which means a lot. It's really nice to have my family support. And I grew up a race fan, as I always tell people. Today's actually my mom's birthday, and I posted a picture of my mom at the Richard Petty Experience at Charlotte Motor Speedway before I was born.
Wow.
So my parents were real authentic race fans, and that's how I grew up, how I got interested in it, and what ultimately, you know, led me to wanting to get involved with the sport, and then ultimately finding my passion driving race cars. So I'm very thankful for that. And it's from where I grew up in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Not many people are race fans or are NASCAR in particular. And like I said, my parents were, they were going to races, watching races and all that before I was alive. And when I was born and grew up, that's all we did. So it's pretty special. I think I have a different perspective of the sport, and my whole family, we all have this unique appreciation. You know, my family comes to the racetrack, they're there as fans, but they're also there as my family watching me race. And now to do that, you're kind of take that and transition to the highest level of our sport, the NASCAR Cup Series, is really cool. So there's a lot of friends since I ended up doing high school online when I started racing, just because I was traveling so much. So I've stayed in touch with a few, and I know they're excited as well. And then there's some other people. I would just be curious what they would say, because there's people, everyone kind of grows and does their own thing, goes to college, whatever. But I don't know. I'm more I've got a tight knit circle, and they're all great people to have by my side.
So let's get into the racing a little bit. Obviously, this year you're on the record saying, you know, you're aware you're not going to win races week in and week out. Front Row Motorsports is not that team. They are not Joe Gibbs Racing. They are not Team Penske. They are not Hendrick Motorsports. What they are is a very solid team, and they have been for the last half a decade or so. So realistically, what do you think the expectations are for yourself personally and for your team overall this season? I mean, are we going to set a target running position, a target points finish, average finishing position? Have you gone through any of that at all? Realistic expectations for the year?
That's a great question. You know, we haven't really pinpointed our performance based on our actual end result yet. I think that's something that's going to come as I get a little bit more experience running these longer races. Most of them are almost, if not double, the length of an Xfinity Series race. So I'm going to have to, you know, I've been trying to prepare as best as I possibly can for that. But I'm going to need to get used to that physically, mentally, learn how you strategize a Cup Series race with it being longer. You know, the pit cycles, when you're going to pit, what strategy you're on is going to depend on where you're running. And there's just so much that goes into it. So really it's going to come down to experience. And everyone knows that. That was obviously the whole part of this decision in considering, you know, me for this ride was my inexperience. But it was just a great fit. And we all know that none of us have any sort of unrealistic expectations. expectations. We just plan to go out there and make the most of it. At least I do. And I know the team is expecting the same. So just get better every week is the ultimate goal, to be honest. I would love to just at the end of the year have a chart of our progression throughout the season of things learned and just see it go like this. You know, no plateaus and definitely no declines in learning. I'm not even saying actual finishing position, yeah, but I'm sure those will inevitably improve. So we'll eventually start probably having a finishing points placement goal and some, yeah, finishing goals as the year goes on. But to start, we're just going to go into it with our heads down, working hard, doing all we can. And Front Row Motorsports has improved tremendously in the last couple of years in particular. And I'd love to help them continue to build that momentum. And I know Michael McDowell, with all his experience, is not only great for the team, but he's going to be huge for me to lean on. So I think we're all pretty optimistic.
Took the next question right out of my mouth. Planning on leaning on Michael McDowell a good bit, I assume, especially this year, because he's really good on those road courses and he got a handful of those on the schedule. He's proven on super speedways as well. Good to have him as your teammate this year.
Absolutely. Michael's one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the industry, at least from behind the wheel. And him and I have been talking pretty much every day. He's very considerate and just willing to help me, which is huge. I'm always willing to learn new things. So to actually have someone who's willing to, you know, hand some of that information over and guide me, make that transition a little bit easier is something I'm very thankful for and plan on, you know, definitely leaning on him more throughout the entire season, especially as we lead up to our first race. His experience in general is going to be huge for me to lean on and kind of get some advice from. But he'll be extremely insightful on the road courses, as you mentioned, because for me, those are probably my weakest point heading into the season, okay, arguably, just because of the fact I don't have very much road course experience, mm-hmm, at all. So that's going to be big for me to learn from him and his road racing experience. And, you know, he always performs very well. So I'm looking forward to tackling that challenge with him.
So when you figured out that you were going to be in the Cup Series and then you were like, oh yeah, they added four more road courses or whatever it was, you were probably like, damn it, man, I wish I just got a couple more under my belt.
It's all right. You know, to be honest, I'm looking forward to it. To me, you're not going to get better at them without actually doing it. And it would obviously be great if I could have more experience, but at the same time, fortunately, multiple of those tracks are new to the series. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of them, some of the Cup Series drivers have run an Xfinity, yeah, even I haven't. But I did go to the Indy road course last year. A lot of those guys haven't run there yet. So maybe that'll help me a little bit. And then COTA and places like that, they're going to be new for everyone, yeah, which, like I said, my overall road course experience might still make it a little bit challenging, but it's a new track. So I'm excited about it. And I think it'll be a great opportunity just for me to get better at road, mm-hmm, racing. The few times I have done it, I loved, yeah, it. So I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I wasn't too upset about it. I was actually excited for it to be added to the schedule. And I think the fans are too.
Good. I'm trying to rack my brain. When you were in K&N, was New Jersey still on the schedule at that point? Did you end, yeah, up doing that? Yeah.
Yep. That and Watkins Glen.
Right. Right. So you got a little bit of experience on those. So you shouldn't be too bad of a fish out of water. That's obviously going to be a challenge for you this year. Also, Anthony, I'm curious personally, or anything else team-wise, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge, the biggest unknown heading into this year? Is it the fact that you have limited practice time and qualifying time? Is it going to be the weirdness that is COVID and not really getting to manufacture a really close-knit relationship with your team and your crew chief? There's a whole lot of ways you can take this one, but biggest challenge or biggest unknown for you heading into your rookie year?
That's difficult to answer because there's definitely multiple things. The first that comes to mind is definitely no practice. You know, we'll have it for Daytona 500, Coca-Cola 600, then the new additions to the schedule like Nashville, Bristol Dirt, mm-hmm, some of the road courses. So, you know, we'll make the most of it then, I'm sure, when we do have it. But yeah, for the rest of the events, you know, seat time is seat time. And, mm-hmm, and the less I get, I feel like, you know, that definitely doesn't help. So that'll probably be that's the first one that stands out to me. And other than that, it's just, I'd say that's the first one that comes to mind right now. Yeah.
All right. You can't say excited, but give me your thoughts on the Daytona 500 in one word.
Incredible.
And that's your first Cup race. How about that?
Oh yeah. Well, that was my first Cup race as a fan too.
I know. I remember hearing that story.
Yeah. 2012. So I still have this little patch I got at one of the souvenir booths. It's like a embroidery patch. So I have it like still in the Ziploc bag tacked on my corkboard.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? That was that Matt Kenseth's year?
I think it was Jamie McMurray's.
2012? I don't think you're right, actually.
No.
2010 was Jamie McMurray, because 2011 was Trevor Bayne, 2012 was Matt Kenseth. We're going to pause. I'm going to look this up.
What year did Juan Pablo hit the jet dryer? Because I was there then, too.
I was also there. Or maybe I wasn't there, because the 2012, wasn't that when it was rained out to a Monday?
Yep, yes. That was Matt Kenseth. Was that the same year he hit the jet dryer?
Yep,
no.
Same year Juan Pablo hit the jet dryer.
Okay. Oh, man, I've had it wrong this whole time. So my first Daytona 500 was 2010.
Okay.
And my
was Jamie.
Second was 2012. But okay. I must not have got a souvenir the first time. Maybe I got a shirt or something, because I have the patch from 2012. Huh. But that makes sense, because I know for a fact the time the race was moved to Monday because of that incident, we didn't get to finish a race. But I know that was my second time, because I was so excited to go back there again, and we didn't get to see the finish because we had to fly back home to New York.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. I'm glad we got that under control. You're welcome.
Well, even cooler. So it's like almost, you know, just barely over 10 years since the first time I was there. It's crazy.
That's sweet. That's
which
crazy.
Is half my life, which is really weird to say too.
I know. It's insane how life works. But hey, not complaining right now, because Daytona 500, great American race for a reason. It's gonna be really fun to watch out there. And again, it's a super speedway race. So not to say that you and Michael are going to be hooked up and possibly at the front, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah, that's the plan, especially with our third car, the 36 of David Reagan, trying to race his way in. He finished fourth last year. So if he races his way in, that'll be huge for us at Front Row Motorsports to have three cars in the race. And of course, with all the other Ford Performance Mustangs out there, I think there'll be a big tandem going of us boys, and hopefully we'll be able to get it done at the end.
Blue Oval Brigade will be in full force, that's for sure. Yep. Anthony, I know you're going to do a lot of iRacing, even though you've done it in the off season. You do it year round, so people can expect to watch you on Twitch throughout the season here during the week, right?
Absolutely. My Twitch channel is fast_pasta.
You're damn right it is.
I'm streaming regularly on there. I'm usually racing in a league event at least twice a week.
Cool.
And then other times I try to hop on just for fun to run some races, but it's been a pretty busy schedule, and I'm sure it'll get even busier once we actually start racing.
Oh yeah.
But I'll still be on there a couple times a week at the very least.
Well, man, I thank you for your time today. I hope the listeners enjoyed hearing from you ahead of your first Cup Series points paying race, being the Daytona 500. Nuts. Best of luck this year. It's going to be really fun to watch you grow, mature. I know you're going to learn a lot. So stay safe down there. I'll actually see you in Daytona. So should be a good time, and thanks for coming on today.
Perfect. Thank you.
White flag is out. One segment, but more so like two, to go here on the Front Stretch Podcast. I'd like to welcome back the one, the only Mike Neff to preview this big bonanza of a week. The Clash is coming up. Going to be different than it was. Are you a fan of running it on the road course? I lean towards no.
No. I'm not a... Again, I'm not a road course, or I should say a Roval course fan. If we're going to do stuff on road courses, there's a ton of really quality road courses in America. Stick with the ovals at the oval tracks.
I agree. I'll be headed down there, actually, on behalf of our wonderful team at Front Stretch. So really excited for that opportunity. I will stay safe. Don't worry, everybody. It's going to be fun to get back to the racetrack just for my mental sanity. I'm looking forward to it.
Tell me about it, dude. It's terrible not being able to go.
I know. But, I mean, I'm pretty hyped about it. I'm sure you are, too, because all the off-season talk, and now we actually get to have cars on track. And after this event, we're going to finally have some points-paying races, starting off with the biggest one. Even though it's on the road course, it's not optimal, it's good to have cars back on track.
Yeah, man. I mean, we watched 24 Hours of Daytona this weekend. I mean, there's nothing like that. We saw the Chili Bowl already. I actually had the pleasure of being at Lakeview Motor Speedway this weekend for the South of the Border Showdown. Had cars on dirt at 40 degrees outside. That's not optimal either, but it was darn fun getting to see cars go in circles. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready. Let's dust it off and get after it.
This is going to be a big-time test session, Neff, for all the drivers that are competing in the Clash, because the second race of the year – is going to be at the Daytona Road Course now. That date moved from Fontana in California.
Yeah,
so
thank
even
you,
though
Governor, or whatever his name is out in California.
Yeah, I don't know his name. All I know is DeSantis in Florida for letting NASCAR just do whatever they want, pretty much. But it is going to be a big time test session for them. And I mean, we know Chase Elliott's going to be obviously the favorite in the class of the field. He will be on pretty much every road course this season. But that doesn't mean that it's going to hold a valuable purpose for other drivers in the field. I mean, heck, even Ty Dillon's being rumored to run the race for 2311 Racing. So 2311 is going to get some notes for their date on the road course in a couple weeks as well with Bubba behind the wheel. It's going to be really valuable for these drivers and teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can never replace the on-track time. You can run simulations all day long. Getting the cars on the track gives you the answers. So anytime they can get on track is good, and it's good for us to get to see racing.
Let's drop the checkered flag. What do you say, Neff?
Checkered flag, here I come.
All right, this is going to be a little segment within Checkered Flag called Davey's Do's and Don'ts. Tom Bowles came up with this idea, so I want to thank him for that. So I'm going to tell you something you should do, something you should not do this upcoming week. Do enjoy this race being the Clash for what it is, which is an exhibition. Don't take anything major out of it, even though it is a test session, and I just mentioned that. Don't take too much stock in it because it's an exhibition. Drivers and teams are still going to probably be throwing balls to the wall, so it's not going to be indicative of what the regular season race at this track is going to be. Don't take anything away. That kind of ties into what I just said because of what I just mentioned. It's an exhibition race. No points are on the line. Teams and drivers will handle this race differently than what they will in a couple weeks' time. Neff, let's talk some bets. And of course, if you're going to do this, please gamble responsibly.
I say, purely for entertainment purposes, unless you're in one of the now 21 states that allow sports gambling.
That is true. My lock of the week, Neff, is Chase Elliott leading 3+ laps. Now, is that a bet that you can actually get on a board? I don't think so. But I made that up because I looked on the major sports books and I actually didn't see any matchup odds for the Clash. So that was kind of one that I came up with because it's pretty simple. Chase Elliott's going to dominate probably and win the race. He's going to lead at least 3+ laps. I don't know where he's going to start, but he will lead. And Neff, let's play this game real quick. Some other bets that I like, no matchups were posted, but I came up with some hypothetical ones. Daytona 500 will have some, so we'll do that next week. So these are matchups. So you're just going to tell me who you think will finish higher out of these two drivers. You ready?
Go for it.
Austin Dillon or Ricky Stenhouse Jr.?
Oh, my God.
You got to make money, baby.
I'm going to go with Dillon because Dillon ran the 24 hours of Daytona.
Good pick. I would agree with that. Denny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick?
Kevin Harvick.
I'll go Denny Hamlin. I think he's a better road course racer than Harvick. Alex Bowman or Brad Keselowski?
Alex Bowman.
I would go Brad K. I think he's hungry this year. William Byron or Joey Logano?
Joey Logano.
Okay, I will also go Joey. So that's going to be what we do each week, but we're going to actually take real bets from real sportsbooks boards and put the odds on there. And again, please gamble responsibly, wager responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I believe that's an actual hotline that you can call.
It is?
Yes, but it's going to be fun. I want to get betting a little bit more integrated in this show because I think it's a fun little nugget. I bet like here and there, but it's like literally $2, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the idea. Betting is for fun. Do not, you don't bet with the mortgage money. But yeah, I love that more and more in-game, in-race betting is becoming a thing. And I think that is going to be a huge deal as this evolves a little bit more to people sitting in the stands with their smart devices, gambling on segment winners and things like that while a segment is going on. I mean, we saw it NFL this year. I forget which game it was, but they scored right at the end.
Was it the Ravens game?
Jimmy Graham caught the touchdown and ran right off the field.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't kick the extra point.
Yeah, but that touchdown put them over what the over-under was for that quarter. So, yeah, I love the in-race idea of it, and I think that's going to be a huge boon for NASCAR going forward.
No doubt. I can see people sitting in the grandstands and, you know, on a restart, if Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is restarting fifth, You know, will he take the lead by lap 10? I don't know why I picked Ricky, because he's probably not going to lead a lot of laps this year. No offense, Ricky. Gosh, but I also can see. I know. I also
can, on the super speedways.
Yeah, I know.
And Bristol.
Yeah, it's true. I can see that becoming a big thing as well, though. So that's why I wanted to integrate a little bit. But this has been fun, Neff. Thanks for joining me, man. On the maiden voyage. It's going to be a little trial by fire, I'm sure. But it's been fun getting to catch up with you on a personal level a little bit.
Absolutely. And,
racing's coming up right around the corner, my man. I cannot wait, and I know you'll be watching.
I am pumped. I appreciate you having me. I look forward to listening to the podcast all year long. And whenever I get opportunities to be on, I will be glad to be here, because I'm a huge believer in the Front Stretch podcast.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you for that. And we will definitely have you on. If not before the Indianapolis Road Course, have you on there. Yeah, you will. Well, guys, if you like what you heard here today, again, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast player of choice. We should be available on all the major ones, Apple, Spotify, Google Play. We'll have some stuff on YouTube potentially posted. Check out our Patreon page for a little stuff there. We're going to sprinkle some stuff in there throughout the year that has to do with this podcast. Leave us a rating and a review. And if you like what you heard, text me, leave us a review, tweet us, let me know what you like, what you didn't like, what you'd like to see added. We'll try to implement that stuff for you, because we are here for you. For Mike Neff, I am Davey Siegel. We'll catch you back next week with the best seat at the track on the Front Stretch Podcast.